Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today, we are going to begin a new series. I'm starting all over from scratch and starting at the beginning of the Bible with a Bible study. So grab your Bibles, let us read a little bit, and begin in Genesis chapter 1. But before we begin, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, you instructed the hearts of the faithful. By the light of the Holy Spirit, so grant us, by that same Spirit, to have a right judgment in all things, and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And here we begin with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form or shape, with darkness over the abyss and a mighty wind sweeping over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God then separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Evening came and morning followed the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters, to separate one body of water from the other." God made the dome, and it separated the water below the dome from the water above the dome. And so it happened. God called the dome sky. Evening came, and morning followed the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into a single basin, so that the dry land may appear." And so it happened. The water under the sky was gathered into its basin, and the dry land appeared. God called the dry land earth, and the basin of water he called sea. God saw that it was good. God then said, "Let the earth bring forth vegetation, every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree on the earth that bears fruit with its seed in it." And so it happened. The earth brought forth vegetation, every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree that bears fruit with its seed in it. God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning followed the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night. Let them mark the seasons and days and years, and serve as lights in the dome of the sky to illuminate the earth." And so it happened. God made the two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, and the lesser one to govern the night, with the stars as well. God then set them in the dome of the sky to illuminate the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning followed the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on the earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky." God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of crawling living things, that which the water teems, and all kind of winged birds. God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply, fill the water of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came and morning followed the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of living creature, tame animals, crawling things, and every kind of wild animal." And so it happened. God made every kind of wild animal, every kind of tame animal, and every kind of thing that crawls on the ground. God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and the tame animals, all the wild animals and all the creatures that crawl on the earth." God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the living things that crawl upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on all the earth, and every kind of tree that is seed-bearing fruit on it, to you it will be food. And to all the wild animals, all the birds of the air, and all the living creatures that crawl on the earth. I give all the green plants for food, And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made and found it very good. Evening came, and morning followed the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were all, and all their array were completed. On the seventh day, God completed the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. The Word of the Lord. This first story of creation is what many people highly misunderstand because they are looking at it wrong. They are looking at it as something that needs to be understood in a literal sense that is not meant in the type of scripture that we have here. There are passages like in Genesis, like in Exodus, when it talks about resting on the seventh day in Exodus 20 as part of a commandment, that is tied back to this idea of God's creation, that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. And that's what's being seen here. That's what's being shown here. And in a sense, they are correct. But they're wrong in saying that it was a 6 24-hour period of time, with the seventh day also being a 24-hour period of time, because that's nowhere in these scriptures. In fact, if you look at these scriptures properly, and I'll even read the very next verse in chapter 2, just to give you the context. This is the story of the heavens and the earth at their creation, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, in the way in which this is written in the original Hebrew, it basically says, this is the story of the heavens and the earth in the day they were created. And here it talks about it being at the moment of their creation, or the story of their creation. And it's a very unique idea to grasp that day in Genesis 1 is relating to a specific defined period of time in a general sense, not a specific measured sense. We use this kind of language in our own speech when we talk about back in our day. I'm pretty certain you've heard somebody say, back in my day, we didn't do this kind of stuff. It's something that as you get older, you start telling the kids, because back in your day, you didn't have microwaves. Back in your day, you didn't have cell phones. Back in your day, you didn't have all these fancy gizmos and tech things that are ruining the world, like the tickety-tocks of the world. But you see, that's the thing. An old man speaking about back in his day is talking about a specific period of time. And that's the period of time that we see being separated out here. There's a day one, there's a day two, there's a day three, there's a day four, all the way up till a day seven, when God finally rests. A particular period of time, a moment, a flash in the pan. And in fact, we'll even note that in Genesis chapter 1, when God has created light, we note that first day marker is put out in verse 5 when it says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Shows another way in which we use the word day not to mean a 24-hour period of time. Because we could be talking about daytime versus nighttime. And we use that in our normal everyday speech as well, referring to day. So when you look at this particular section of Genesis, is it giving you history? In a sense, yes. Literally, scientifically, no. Are there things in this text that we must take as gospel truth, as fact, as real history? Yeah, God created. God did this, God did that. God made this, God made that. And we're going to see a contradiction coming from here into the next creation account when we go a little bit further into this. Because what we are being exposed to here is something very unique that every one of us needs to understand. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's without question a factual statement. God created everything. If you want to know what it is that God is, even as an atheist, you can conceive the concept. Because Thomas Aquinas makes it very plain and clear. The very first of anything. The very highest thing of anything that you can conceive, that is God. It's an ontological definition of God. It's like saying yellow is yellow. I have a friend that makes a statement every so often when somebody says, what's an ontological statement? He goes, that depends. Are we talking about orange as in the color or orange as in the fruit? Because there's two different ways orange can be orange, right? The color itself is defined by just merely looking at it. It's orange. And that's what an ontological or first truth is in actuality. It is a reality exposing something very real about what's going on. Because the reality is, it's telling you something that is undeniably, unequivocally true. Because in the end, God is the supreme of everything. The first thing that you conceive of anything is God. Think back for a second. Let me do this. This is the sequence argument. Everything that happens in life is the result of something acting on it and there being a reaction, cause and effect. You can take that sequence all the way back like a bunch of dominoes, but then you have to come to this conclusion that at some point, somebody set up those dominoes. Somebody started that chain. And whoever that first thing is, that, in the words of St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa, is what every rational person calls God. You may not know what that God is, or if that is a personal God, basically being agnostic in a sense, but you do understand the concept of God. So here we have it right here, this first proof, this most basic definition of what God is, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's a word put in there that's not in most normal translations. It's the word when. And it's basically setting up what's about to happen. Because a lot of people, when they read that first verse, they think it's the cause of the next verse. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form or shape, darkness over the waters, mighty wind sweeping. That's the result. But that's not the result. That's not the causality of what's going on here, because the very next thing in verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Many people hypothesize that was the Big Bang. This light got separated from the darkness. The period of light is one thing. The period of darkness is another. The first day. Creation of the universe, the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that's going out into eternity, being pushed out by that big bang, happens here. A lot of people are questioning where'd the light come from. And this is because a lot of people see on day 4, that's when the lights are seen in the dome of the sky. And they think that's when light came into question. St. Augustine dealt with it and basically said, we don't understand what's going on here. And even he, to a degree, in his explanation was not really very well stated. But in essence, what he tried to get across was what was being seen in day 4 with the sun, moon, and stars shining on the earth, separating light from darkness. That's already happened in day 1. He didn't understand the process of what would happen. Because in day 2, what we get is we get the dome, the sky, the formation of planet Earth in this abyss of watery matter that's not into anything. Gravity comes into play in day 2. So there is some science being depicted here. As a result of this formation of a planet, a circular planet, by the way, because there is no such thing as a flat earth. I know some people want to try to believe it. Okay, That's on you. But once we have that, then we start getting something called the water cycle, where water gathers together into one place so that land, ground, dry terra firma can be seen. And as a result, plant life can begin. That's on day three. Big bang. Planet Earth starts forming in day two. Day three, we get a water cycle where water is gathered together in an area, and we get vegetation. And with vegetation, we get something very unique, something we all need, something climate people will holler about to the day that they are passed away, is that we're killing the ozone with all of these CO2 gases that we're putting in the Earth's atmosphere. And that is what makes us different from most other planets that do not get plant life on it. Because we start getting oxygen on this fragile planet called Earth. So day three, in a scientific way, explains day four, whereas if you're sitting here on planet Earth, wherever you're sitting, and you were able to look up, you would see the sky clear to where you could look out and see stars. You could see the moon and perceive the sun, the source of light during the day, versus the moon during the night. And that's what happens up to this point. That's 4 days. Because of this oxygenation, because the Earth's atmosphere is cleared up and people and plants are existing, that's when the first life comes into play. What is the first life? Amphibious life and birds or reptiles. Because birds are reptiles, whether you know it or not. The age of dinosaurs. A little science thrown in there. Life as a thing outside of plant life begins to take on animal life from the sea and on Earth in the air. Lizards and amphibians start being seen everywhere. Then you get into the day five, when the rest of the animals come together, all the cattle or domesticated animals. Those that you can have on a farm. Wild animals, too. Animals in the field. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my! Animals that we don't tame, but we may still hunt. Like the wild buffalo, the dodo bird. Things that we've hunted into extinction in recent years. But other life was created. And then comes humanity. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Many people just get into this big, long discussion about who is he talking to? Is he talking to himself, as in the other persons of the Trinity? There's a yes to that. Or is he talking to the angels? There's a no to that. God didn't make you in the likeness of an angel. He made you in his likeness. A likeness of being spiritual, any likeness with material form, like the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. And there's your very first gospel message in the Old Testament. The image and likeness of God. You are to represent God. That's your high calling. No angel got that calling. You did. And God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Every human being bears this image, this likeness of God. It's not the gender that defines your like being God. So there's no patriarchy, there's no matriarchy, there's none of that other goofiness. The image and likeness of God is something else. Something we're about to see in a very short period of time. Because it's hinted at in the blessing that comes right after. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and all living things that crawl upon the earth. There it is. What is the image and likeness of God? the image and likeness of God is being fertile, having offspring, multiplying, filling the earth, subduing it. There's the church going into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples of everyone that they meet, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching others what to do. See, that's the point of this creation story, whether we know it or not. God starts with just nothing. He creates the heavens and the earth. The original state of the earth was that it was just immaterial mass, kind of like gases or water. Water can be gas, water can be solid, water can be liquid. There it is. A mighty wind swept over the waters. Or the Spirit of God gently moved over the waters. And before we get to the end, we see the image of God being done in the world. Notice verse 26. It says, God said, let us make human beings in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Dominion. Kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we were given this blessing to be fertile and multiply. That is the reason that we have dominion over the fish of the earth or the sea and the birds of the air and the living things that crawl on the earth. Everything on the face of the earth is given to you so that you can spread God's likeness in it. And then, after that, it says, and God also said this. This is what you get to eat. The original buffet, if you will, was every plant that was out there was something you were able, capable of eating from. You and every bird, everything that crawls on the ground, every wild animal, every animal gets to eat vegetation. So, to a degree, my vegan friends out there, you're back in the Garden of Eden. And then we get to chapter 2. Thus were the heavens and the earth and all their array were completed. They were finished. They were done. God didn't have to do anything else to make them better than they already were. And so God rested. God didn't do any other act of creation. He stopped. Just like you and I, when we come to the end of something, we stop. We pause. We come to a conclusion. We rest. And we were supposed to be resting with God from the moment of our creation until now. Oh, we would have work to do outside of that, but we were in a restful work. And that's something we'll see a little bit more tomorrow when I talk a little bit more about this subject, picking up in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. So with that in mind, let us turn our hearts and minds to God one more time in prayer and pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, let me not be puffed up with worldly wisdom which passes away. Grant me that love that never abates, that I may not choose to know anything but Jesus and Him crucified. I pray you, my loving Jesus, that as you have graciously given me and all those who hear this podcast to drink in with delight the words of your knowledge, so you would mercifully grant me and all of us to attain one day to you, the fountain of all wisdom, and to appear forever before your face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.